Blog Talk Radio. Well, good evening, Kingdom citizens. It is another day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to Let's Talk Kingdom with Katrina. I'm so glad you decided to tune in with us tonight. We had a little bit of change. We were going to have Anita Jarrell Robinson, but she is going to be performing tonight at the House of Blues. So we have the wonderful opportunity to have Charles Walker, who's a saxophonist out of Nashville, Tennessee. And I am so excited because I got a chance to read his bio today, and you guys are truly, truly going to be blessed. Let me read you a little bit about Charles. It says, Charles, born in Hueytown, Alabama. Is that Hueytown, Alabama? He'll correct me when he gets on. Charles began playing the saxophone at the age of 12. 2 years later, at the age of 14, his unique skills and passion for music opened the door of opportunity for him to become playing at the Hopewell Baptist Church in Wylam, I think that's Wylam, Alabama. Man, I am really jacking words up today. Excuse me, guys. Charles quickly became one of Birmingham's most sought-after saxophonists. His musical influence and style are attributed to the likes of Grover Washington Jr., Cannonball Adderley, Kurt Whalen, and Greg Albright. However, his music carries a distinction that is like no other. In the year 2001, Charles moved to the music city of Nashville, Tennessee, where he quickly became engaged with some of the industry's most elite artists. His studio sessions with countless artists and his contributions to many projects with notable artists such as Bernard Harris, Kevin Whalen, and he's also opened up for Smokey Norville and Donnie McClurkin. This young man is truly a blessing to the kingdom of God, and he has been doing some wonderful things. So without further ado, kingdom citizens, I want to bring on the line tonight, and I want you to help me welcome Charles Walker. Charles, how are you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing just wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic, man. We're getting a little bit of thunder here in North Carolina, so hopefully it won't knock our knock anything out, but we're going to go on and move forward in the Lord. Amen?
All right.
Amen. Well, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. I'm waiting for the weekend.
I can imagine. You got some things you got planned on your agenda for tonight, for this weekend?
Nothing tonight. Actually, just getting ready to fly out to California, to L.A. I have a men's conference to play at out there this weekend. So I'll be out there from Friday until Monday.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, I read a little bit of your bio to our listeners tonight, and just to give them just a little bit of, you know, background about you. But it says you started at the age of 12. Now, did I crucify your hometown?
You got it. Hueytown, that's it.
Hueytown, okay, great, great. Now, where is Hueytown, Alabama?
It's actually just a little suburb outside of Birmingham, so it's right there in Birmingham, actually.
Okay, great, great. Now, what made you decide to play the saxophone?
Wow, that's a good question. I was just trying to figure out which instrument I wanted to play, and I tried on sax, trumpet, and at the same time I heard of Grover Washington playing, and I heard, I think, Gerald Albright on TV, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And that was around the same time when I was, I'd gotten like first chair all county and band and different things, and I realized, like, okay, I guess I'm kind of decent at this. I'm going to keep at it, and I decided to just continue playing.
Now, at a young age like that, like you said, you know, did you play in school and through, you know, elementary, middle school, high school? Did you keep it up through that, you know, through that venue?
Yes, I did. I started in the seventh grade, and I just kept playing. So I learned how to read music. But the funny thing was when I started playing out at the churches or other engagements, it was very hard to find sheet music for saxophone. And it just got to the point, I just got so frustrated with it, I was like, okay, I'm going to make sure I know all my scales and I know my horn. So when I went somewhere, I didn't too much have to worry about sheet music or being crippled to just looking at sheet music. So the good thing is I can play just from ear, and I can also read music. So kind of worked out for my good.
Wow. Now you were talking about being able to read music. Did you go, did you learn music through school, or did you kind of teach yourself? Because sometimes a lot of people play by ear, but they don't take the time to really read music. So talk about how important it is that you really know, you should know your musical skills, correct? And if you're an artist, you there's something very important about being able to read the notes. Do you agree?
It's very important. You really should correctly learn music, learn your scales, know different music theory, different terminology, because a lot of times if you're wanting to take your music serious and be a professional, if you're called to do a studio session, a lot of times you don't know what you're playing, you don't know what key, and they'll throw some sheet music at you and either you're going to sink or swim, and you're not going to get called back if you sink.
That is so true. That's so true. And I like the way you said it, because it is very important that we, as, musicians, as artists, you have to know your craft. You have to perfect. You have to learn. You have to continually educate yourself. Now, is there any because, I love the saxophone. So kind of tell me, how hard is it really to learn to play the sax?
The toughest part is getting used to the breathing through it. You're going to feel very dizzy at first. And the embouchure on the mouthpiece, I think those are the two things. I had a great teacher in seventh grade and through middle school and high school, and they made sure that our sound, that we had a great sound. If you didn't have anything else, you had a great sound and you knew your instrument. So I think it's very important. Once you get those two things, the other stuff will come.
Wow, that's fantastic. And it's obvious that God has truly anointed you, and he's been opening up tremendous doors for you. Because I love, the Waylons, myself, and also Gerald Albright. So how did you get the opportunity to open up for Smokey Norville?
Yeah, he was actually, there was an organization here in Nashville, and they were just putting on a concert, and I think they booked him, and he was going to be at our church. I actually attend Mount Zion here in Nashville. Bishop Joseph Walker is my pastor, and so they had this concert there, and I was asked to open up for him, and that was nice. That was really a cool experience to get the opportunity to do that there.
And it's obvious that, you have a very humble spirit, because, like I said, I was reading your bio, and you've had the opportunity to be, on stage and be accredited to sound and, of course, have your own distinct sound, but be compared to, some of the greats. Growing up, did you listen to a lot of Gerald Albright or Grover Washington, just to kind of home in on, how they play, other than your distinct, your distinct style? But, I mean, did you kind of try to play like them or craft yourself around them?
In a way, but my story behind that was, when I heard Gerald, I was really impressed with his playing. So when I was playing, things that I would do or try to do, it came as far as like what the way he did it, it came easier to me. So it was almost like that was just kind of part of me, you know, and it was just coming out. Another person that I really love, really, really love, the guy's so anointing. It's like he's singing through the horn of Kurt Whalum. I love to listen to that guy. And I have people tell me sometimes, oh, he sounds like Kurt. Sounds a little bit like Kurt. You know, one thing I've learned in this music industry is, you know, there's already a Kurt Whalum out there. There's already a Gerald Albright out there and everything. So what I try to do is I try to take from them things and incorporate it into my own style that just comes natural to me.
I love that. And that's what's so important because, I mean, you yourself, how long have you been doing this?
29 years.
29 years. You're about like me. You're hitting your 20 years. But you do. When you first start out, you do pick up a few of your favorite artist attributes. But then again, as God begins to mature it, you know, you begin to have your own distinct style. And I think that's what draws people, you know, to you because you do. You may sound like them, but again, your style is what somebody is drawn to, and I'm pretty sure people, you know, tell you that all the time. I want to talk about your debut project, Life Changing, A Journey Called Grace. How long did it take you to pull that project together?
Oh, wow. I've actually been trying for several years to record something, and you know, being an artist, it's not cheap at all, especially if you want to do it right. The right way. It's very expensive, and just ran into a person that believed in me, and was like, "Listen, we got to get you something out there. And, you know, world's got to hear you." And so he worked with me, and we recorded that. I think I started. It took me maybe off and on 7 months to complete everything.
Now, did you do that project? You did that project in Nashville?
I did. I did it here and used some musicians here that I've played with and still continue to play with. I've been very blessed to be able to play with some of the musicians here, some really great musicians here, and I'm just so blessed to know them and be able to play with them.
Amen. The young lady that I had on my show last week, her name was Christine Rader, and she is from out of Nashville. And one of the things that I asked her, because a lot of people, you know, that, you know, get into the music business or get into, you know, music, whatever, you know, genre it is, seems to always flock to Nashville because they say Nashville is the Mecca or the home of, you know, the music and, you know, where everything is happening and things like that. Do you think that's true?
In a way I do and in a way I don't. It seems like more and more people are moving here for music. But to me, I've noticed more artists that are already well known, that are already established, are moving here from like California or New York. I've noticed that there are so many musicians here. I think that it's saturated with a lot of them, and unless you know somebody or you're in the right place at the right time here, it's just hard to, you know, to get that opportunity. It's a great place. A lot of tourists, a lot of people come here to listen to music. It's a great place to come to record or handle the music business side of it. Nashville could be better with promoting live events and the turnout to things could be a little better, but it's getting there.
I love it, and that's one of the things that, you know, and you almost said the same thing she did. She said even though, you know, she grew up in that area and she was blessed to, you know, and, you know, like you said, opportunities that opened up for her to sing with a lot of, you know, well-known people, you know, a lot of times it is very hard because a lot of people are coming in from the outside. They're wanting to be discovered, whatever genre you're in, whether it's rock, country, you know, gospel, whatever. And like you said, then it saturates it so much. There's so much talent, you know, you almost kind of have to be, you know, over extra to be seen, you know, and to be discovered. Do you find that to be a little true?
Oh, yeah. Yes. And actually, more so, I think it's more so knowing people than, you know, knowing how to get to the right person. I've seen several musicians here or singers that, I mean, are just awesome. And it breaks my heart to see they just don't get that break. And then I've seen musicians or singers that are, you know, mediocre, or and because they know someone, or they know someone that knows someone, and they got a contact, it just breaks off for them, and you know, that's great. You know, I think it's a blessing when you can make it in what you're passionate about. It's definitely helped here in Nashville to know someone.
Wow. Did you hear that? I know, because this show is taped, so we always have people that are going to come back and listen on. And a lot of times, a lot of indie artists always plug into the show after the fact. So, and they like to get, you know, some little tidbits of information, you know, from our guests, you know, just to use that. Because, you know, knowledge is power. You know, it is, and understanding, and it's very, this business is a very hard business. And, you know, like myself, I've been doing this for 25 years, and I've been to high and I've been low. So kind of talk about that as an artist, you know, because you will have those moments where you're on fire, you're hot, you know, everybody's wanting you, and then you're going to have those moments when you may not be doing too much. So if you would talk to, you know, an artist, up-and-coming artist, about that and how you have to continue to be true to yourself and true to your craft.
That's so true. You're right. You're definitely going to have your ups and downs. You're going to feel like, you know, things are moving along and you know, you feel like everything's going well and, you know, you're creating music and people are being blessed by your music. They love what you do. And then there's times where you don't get a call for anything, or it's hard to even if you're trying hard to book something, and you're sitting back and you're kind of idle, and, you know, you need funds to, you know, get your instrument fixed or to try to make it to another gig, and things just, and, you know, you hadn't heard anything, and then that devil starts playing with your mind that, you know, nobody wants to hear you, and you start getting down on yourself, and you will. I mean, I've had my moments where it's like, you know, almost, you know, what's the point? You know, I take two steps forward and three back or something like that. But I think my thing is you really got to know who you are. I tell people all the time, there's a million saxophonists here in town, or there's a million singers that, you know, is going to be just as good or better. But you find that gift that God gave you, and you stay true to that. Don't try to change and be like anybody else. You find what blesses people. You find that gift that God gave you that blesses people. And you perfect that, and you stay to that. And you'll just sporadically get a call or an email or something about how somebody was about to put a gun to their head, and they heard you sing or they heard you play something, and it changed their life. I mean, that right there, that makes my day. To know that
I
bless someone, or I touch someone, or I change someone's life. That title of my CD, Life Changing, that's so true, and that that just, you know, I couldn't have asked for a better title. I prayed about that, and, you know, God just gave me that title. I you know, it's just, I love it.
Wow, wow. Now, when did you come out? Now, life-changing, when did you come out? Have you finished a project? Is it still, you know, or have you come out with it? Kind of talk about that project and how we can get it.
Sure. Yeah, life-changing, I released that actually in November of 2012. You can actually go to my website. It's charlespwalker.com. So you can order there. You can actually order it on iTunes or Amazon or CD Baby, all the internet retail stores. And you can also get it on my website. I can send it to you. I have some songs on there that I've written myself, and then some cover tunes. A song that I really like, a song by Martin Fepp, Not the Time, Not the Place. Years ago when I first heard that song, I was like, hopefully one day I want to record that. So I had the opportunity to do that song. Another song on there is by the Clark Sisters, Growing Up. I love that song, You Brought the Sunshine. So we just kind of did that and put a little twist to it, and came out pretty good.
Now, what do you consider your style? Because, you know, some artists say, you know, they have a certain style, neo-soul or jazz or, you know, whatever. Do you consider yourself an all-around saxophonist, where you play from a hymn to contemporary to, you know, jazz style? What do you consider yourself?
Yeah, I would consider myself all-around. I never wanted to just kind of pinning myself in a corner to one style. I always wanted to keep myself marketable to different styles of music. Even on this CD, there's going to be some smooth jazz. You're going to hear the old hymns, and you're going to hear some of the gospel tunes that you've heard on the radio, and you're going to hear some of the contemporary Christian songs that you hear on the radio. Whole plan behind that was to attract as many listeners as I could to my music. By me being an instrumentalist, there's not a lot of vocals, or it's not a lead singer, so I wanted to be able to touch as many could with my music, and it's worked out, and that's just been how I've always been. Even when I record, you know, I don't discriminate. You know, if someone wants me to do a studio session for country, I've done that. Studio session for contemporary Christian, I've done that. Gospel, done that. Smooth jazz, fusion, whatever, I'll do it.
And I like the way you said that, because a lot of times you don't want to put yourself in a box. You want to be able to reach all of God's people, you know. And sometimes, you know, you won't be able to reach them, but, you know, you have to be confident, like you said earlier, in, you know, your craft and what God has told you to do. And there's always going to be people that's going to be connected to you, because the people that I may not be able to reach, you can reach. And the people that you may not be able to reach, I can reach. So that's why we have to understand that you have to move in God's timing and not try to step out of your lane and do something that's, you know, that's not of God. You understand what I'm saying? Or not, you know, what he has ordained for you to do. Now, you were talking about earlier that you are preparing this weekend for a men's conference. I did see on your bio it says that you annually are a featured artist at the Love Cruise or the K Love Cruise.
Yes. Last 5 or 6 years. Normally that cruise is in January of each year. That's been fun to play on that. There's me and a good friend of mine. He's an excellent bass player. He's named Bernard Harris. He was actually the one that kind of got me connected with that. But we have what is called a a jam band. So us, and we'll pull up musicians or singers from the major artists that are featured on the cruise, and we'll just play music together. And the people on the cruise, they love it to the point where they ask for that to be a part of the actual cruise. So for the last 5 years, we've done it.
Wow. And where do you guys go? Are you in different spots, or are you normally in the same, traveling in the same, on the same boat, or in the same, you know what I mean? Like sometimes you go to Cancun, or you'll go to Jamaica. So is it different places that you guys travel to, or on the same boat?
Yeah, every year is a different. In January, we were in the Bahamas and a couple of islands down the Bahamas. And then 1 year we was in the Grand Turks. 1 year we was in Cozumel, Cancun. So we it's different every year, which is nice. It keeps it fresh and not, you know, we don't get bored.
Hey, man. Now, and I was going to ask you another question. Now, are you married?
Yes, ma'am. I am married to my wife, Regina Walker, and we've been married since 1997. We've been married a pretty good while. And,
Amen. Because my question was, and I always ask, you know, my artists if they're married or single, the balance between handling family and your career.
Oh, yeah. That can be tough at times because, you know, whether it's the kids or your spouse, you know, they can feel like you're not spending enough time with them. The cool thing about some of the things I do, I'm allowed to take her with me. She'll be going with me to California, which is nice because they are – the organization or the company, the ministry, they are big on family and marriage. And so they recognize that she's part of me, and they allow her to come out, you know, no charge to us, and that's been a blessing. So have her to go with me.
I love that. And that's so important. That is so important because if you're out there and you're ministering to the people but your house is a wreck, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying that your home is perfect and you don't have problems and you don't have issues going on. But the thing is you have to, you know, especially as a man of God, you know, I want you to talk to our men out there and tell them how important it is that you do take care of home first.
Oh, yeah, you have to take care of home first, especially you being the head. You know, God designed you to be the head of the house. He can't, and like I said, I'm preaching to myself, he can't and he won't bless what you're trying to do if you are neglecting home.
Mm.
He's never been a God of breaking up a home or a home not being a priority. So, it's very easy to get caught up in what you're passionate about, and you think, okay, I'm doing the will of God, I'm doing this here, but you hadn't spent time with your spouse or your kids, so you really have to stay prayed up and mindful of that.
Amen. I love it. And also, and I loved at the end of your bio, it says, in his own words, Charles declares, my wish is that God will allow my music to bless communities and nations. And truly, he has been doing that for you. And we just thank God that you took the time out of your schedule to come on and to bless, you know, our listeners tonight. Charles, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Anytime.
Well, we're all in the family. Now, how can people find you again and tell them who they can go through? Because, you know, I already know that. But tell them how they can book you for an event at their church, festival, whatever it is. Let them know how they can get in contact with you.
Sure. Just go to my website. It is charlespwalker.com. Again, that's charlespwalker.com. And you can... actually send me a message there for a booking or any info. You can also purchase CDs there as well.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you so much, Kingdom listeners. I am so glad you took the time. The storm passed over, hallelujah. I heard it passing over as we were in the middle of the interview. I just thank God. He is so faithful. He is so faithful. So, Kingdom listeners, thank you so much for hanging in there with us and staying tuned in as Charles Walker blessed us with his ministry. And we will be posting this interview out on our Facebook page, Let's Talk Kingdom with Katrina, and we'll also have some of Charles's music as well. And Charles, let us know of any upcoming events that you have. Send us a flyer, send us some information, and we'll definitely post it out there so that the listening audience and our Facebook fans and Twitter fans can kind of keep up with what you got going on.
I sure will. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And a shout out to Axe Management, Entertainment Management, Felicia. Woo-hoo! Thanks for hooking up this interview for me, lady. God bless you. Well, Charles, one of the things that I always ask my guests to do, I know we're a little bit over just a minute, but I always ask my guests if they would close the show out with a word of prayer. As you guys know, we'll have another up-and-coming artist on next week. And so just tune in, same time, same station, blogtalkradio.com, and listen to some of the great things that, these artists are doing in the kingdom of God. So I thank you again. And Charles, if you would close the show out with a word of prayer.
Okay, sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this moment, Lord, to just be able to talk and share our experiences and our blessings in music, Lord. Father, thank you for this radio show that you allow musicians and artists to come on and just talk about what they do, Lord. Ask that you continue to bless this show, Lord. Bless each and every musician that has been on here and that will be on here, Lord. Continue to help their ministry grow, Lord. To continue to keep them focused on you, Lord, that they don't get anxious to try to do things themselves, Lord, and get out of your will. We thank you for everything you've done and that you will do. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we thank you so much for coming on, Charles, and we just pray continued blessings on you and your family and your music ministry. And anytime that you are in North Carolina, we're in Charlotte, stop by and visit us. We got a, I have a big event myself coming up in September, and I'm going to be celebrating my 25th year in the music ministry. So if you guys are this way in September, why don't you stop by September 26th, and maybe we might get you to play a horn a little bit.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to go on your site and make sure I stay connected about that.
Oh, yes, please do. Well, we thank God for each and every one of you listening tonight. And again, as we close out the show, we always say, let's talk, everybody. Good night, everybody. We love you. God bless you, Charles.
God bless you. Have a good one.